From Newbury's Corn Exchange to Crookham Common, this is Kennet Radio.
Welcome to this podcast from Kennet Radio. I'm Paul and I'm one of the volunteer presenters on the station. We're going to talk now about two very different subjects joined together in one person's life story. A near-death cycling accident and a fermented food and drinks business in Newbury. And with me in the studio is George. Hello, George.
Hello, thanks for getting me to come here.
Thanks very much for coming along. So first of all, just tell me how you came to be here in Newbury.
So in my life, I've lived in many places around the world. I've lived in America for 2 years. I've lived in Italy for 3 years. Most of my time, I was in London. And then we had a baby and thought it's, you know, quite expensive in London to buy a house. And so we went to move out a bit and went to a city. So went to Reading. And at a bit of time, we thought, well, maybe we want to go somewhere else, which is what we thought was beautiful and fantastic. So we went to Newbury, and we just find that Newbury is a phenomenally good place. So,
what do you like about it?
We like the fact, as a town, you can do all sorts of things, right? So quite close to here, you can be walking on the river.
Yes.
You can walk on the farm, but in the center you've got all the shops, which are good enough that anything you want is in a place. So that's what's a good town is, that you have all the good things in the middle and all the good things at the side. And you know, it's fantastic, I think, that you can walk through without the car being around during the day. I know some people are very against that, but I think it's beautiful and fantastic that you can walk to different places and walk through with hundreds of people around, and it's nice.
Tell us about what led up to your cycling accident.
So, strangely, within about 2 months of being in Newbury, I had an accident with my bike, and I have no idea about what happened because I have no memory of that minute of what happened. But I was on the way back after being in London for a day. I was on the train back, and I just had to go on my bike to go back to my house. And at some point I fell off the bike. As I say, I don't really remember what happened. I hit my head very hard, and then was sent to the hospital nearby here, and then on to Southampton. And I was on right on the worst side of what was happening. They told my wife that 50 to 50% I might not be alive within a week or so. So I decided to go with the other 50% and carry on. Back then as well, they did not know where I would be in the future. You know, it was possible that I would never be able to speak again. It was possible that I'd never be able to talk properly again. Things have increased a huge amount over the last couple of years. It's not where I was before. But it's improving and improving and improving to the place where I hope I can come back in a helpful way throughout.
How long were you in hospital?
I was in hospital for 6 months, which is a huge amount of time. I had a daughter who was only 2 years old. And if you think about that, that was about 25% of her life. I was in the hospital at that point, a huge amount of time. And obviously the other thing is I fell off this bike, and I didn't have a helmet at that point. And so that's probably the bit where I was probably hit very hard. I always had a bike for the last 20 years. I was always driving my bike, and I always had a helmet. And it just so happened, as we started to live in a new place and I was going on the train a lot, I'd left my bike, helmet on the train. And normally when you leave something on the train, you come off the train and within 2 seconds later you think, oh no, oh, I just left it on there, and then it's gone. And that's exactly what happened. It had gone. And then a day later, 2 days later, I thought, well, you know, it was a few days before I could get a new one. And it's just that point where I fell off, which I hadn't done for 20 years. So it was completely it was firstly annoying, but very unlucky that what happened to me.
And you're quite passionate about people wearing helmets, aren't you?
Yeah, I think you should do. You know, at the end of the day, I don't know what happened to me, and it is possible that, you know, I could have been hit just as bad with a helmet as well. There are people who have gone, had worse, who've always died even though they had a helmet. But let's increase the percentage we have to more than 50%. You know, we don't know what will happen to us. Things can happen to us within a second of our life. So let's make sure we have the best we can. And if you, for some extent, happens to you, it's a terrible thing that can happen to you. But let's do it in a way which makes stuff as helpful as possible during that time.
So your interest in fermentation has come about since the accident?
Yeah, I started to do something, start with a business called Fermented Reality, to make sauerkraut and kombucha at the start, and then I'm going to looking at other fermented things to drink or to eat. It's something that people find very interesting for the last couple of years, and more are interested in these kinds of food and drink, but it's something I've done for many, many years. I mean, my my family comes from Croatia, and we'd always been made this fermented stuff ourselves. My grandmother had made kombucha herself in 1960, I think she was making some of it herself. And I was doing it in my house 10 years ago, just for our family, for ourselves. And, you know, now I can give it to other people as well, people who really like stuff. So that's always a nice thing to do in the future as well. Previously, I was a journalist investigator, and a journalist investigator is somebody who writes a lot. Writing is still quite difficult for me, but at the same time, you're also somebody who does something showing the bad stuff of what's going on. You know, people who write stuff as a investigative journalist are not normally writing something of the good things in life. We're writing about the really nasty stuff or the bad things, but this is in a completely different way, really. It's fermenting things which should be, people I think, are much nicer for themselves, and so move to a different place to actually see how that works a bit.
So the accident has taken you from the journalism to the fermentation?
Yeah, I mean, I really liked what I did before, and I may be back again, but, you know, for some time I needed some time to have some healings with me, and healing is going to a nice place, making things that people enjoy, I can work together with others, and for that reason it's been a really lovely way to do this. And I started maybe about 6 months ago, going to several markets. In fact, I'm going tomorrow in Abingdon to the market there, and yeah, it's something I've always liked to eat and drink myself. My kids love eating sauerkraut, which I know is a bit strange for young kids, but they really like it.
So sauerkraut is fermented. I didn't realise that.
Sauerkraut is fermented. You obviously probably can buy some from shops that are not very fermented, but mine is kind of raw and still fermenting when it's in the jar still, and you drink it, you can eat it while still alive, really, part of it. I mean, you say it's alive, but, you know, it's not human. It's a bit acidic when you eat it, and for that reason it's quite good for you as a cut and stuff.
What is kombucha?
Kombucha. Kombucha is a drink. It ferments tea, and you ferment the tea with this thing called a SCOBY, and the SCOBY bacteriizes some of it, and you drink that. You know, it's there. So I ferment the tea. Oh, sorry, I boil the tea, leave it for a day to come right down so it's not hot anymore, and then put in this SCOBY. And the SCOBY is part of this bacteria thing that you put in. I think part of what's happened over the last 5 or 6 years is, like, people before thought that something that was bacteria is terrible, you need to kill all the bacteria before it comes to your body. Well, and then now people realize more and more that there's two different types of bacteria. There's stuff which is very helpful for you and good for you, it's good part of you, it's always been part of you, it's always inside of you. And there are other things which are very nasty, you want nothing close to you. So we have to get rid of the nasty things and make sure we have the good things inside us.
So the SCOBY is a bit like yeast in beer, is it?
Yeah, it's not actually yeast. I forget the reason why it's called SCOBY, but it's a similar thing. You put it inside to increase certain parts of it and getting away with other parts of it. And it becomes quite acidic. It's a bit like if you had a vinegar, it's a kind of similar thing. Like a vinegar drink, like something which is vinegar, what you do is you ferment it so it becomes acidic, or it becomes rather alcoholic. And then what you continue to make the alcohol into vinegar. And this does the same thing, but it goes right through both of them, rather than you putting one of them at the top and then putting a second one in. This goes through both. So there would still be a small amount of alcohol inside it, probably less than 1% or so, and it's quite acidic.
Kombucha seems to have taken off in the UK. I hadn't even realised it existed about 2 years ago, and it seems to have really taken off, hasn't it?
Yeah, if you look at some research and stuff on the internet and things, kind of people say that it's from China in 2,000 years ago, but it's been around forever. It was my grandmother here. She was in 1960. She was doing it herself. So people have done it for many, many years, but it's coming back. I think basically, I don't know if this is true or not, but I've heard this, and maybe this is the point, but you need some sugar inside it for it to ferment. And apparently here in the UK, pre-1945, actually quite a few people did kombucha here, and then they stopped after that. Now, if you remember back then, well, you probably don't remember back then, if you know about then, the sugar, it was much harder to get sugar after the end of the Second World War. But you need sugar to make beer. So, I mean, maybe what happened was somebody was thinking, oh, we can only get a bit of sugar, so should we make beer with it or kombucha? Let's go for beer. And then kombucha came right down, and now it's coming back again.
Great, and I've tasted some this afternoon, and it was delicious, your mango kombucha.
Yeah, but the mango thing is the second fermented thing. So what I do is I ferment the tea. That's there for about 2 weeks. And then I put in a second thing to, like, put it a bit differently. So there's, like, four or five different ones I do. One with mango, one with different types of thyme. I have thyme in one of them and other ways of doing it.
Right. So tell us about your website so people can find out about your stuff.
So it's called fermentedreality.uk, and then you can see my story on how I started it, some pictures of what I'm making. I need to put some more, I've only just started it recently, so I need to put on, you know, which market I'll be in, etc. And yeah, it's fermentedreality.uk. It's not .co.uk, but .uk.
Brilliant. Okay, thank you very much indeed, George, for coming in, and best of luck with your business and
you
your
so
life
much.
In Newbury with your family.
Thank you very much,
George. That was George Turner from Fermented Reality in Newbury, talking about a cycle accident that changed his life and brought him to creating fermented food and drinks. That concludes this Kennet Radio podcast. Don't forget, we're the local community radio station for Newbury, Thatcham and Hungerford, as well as the surrounding villages. We're broadcasting 24 hours a day on 106.7 FM, online on kennetradio.com and on your mobile.
More music variety right here on the Listener's Choice.
Kennet Radio.